Welcome to the Real Growth Podcast. In this podcast, we're going to learn about growth from the very beginning stages of high school to college, to ultimately getting into business. I want to go ahead and have the individual that I'm here with introduce himself and tell us about the business that they own.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name's Nate Scarry. I'm from Chatfield, Minnesota, and I own Scarry Spine and Performance, which is a chiropractic and rehab clinic here in Rochester.
And I just saw the post on Facebook yesterday. You just got your sign up. So this is a brand new business to Rochester.
Yep.
When did you officially open?
So we officially opened May 8th of this year. So this is my 8th week open now. So yeah, we finally got to sign up. Feel like all the finishing touches are done and kind of everything's rolling now. So yeah, it's been fun.
I feel like 8 weeks is like probably having an 8 week old child. You're kind of still trying to figure out all the things it's going to do.
Yeah, for sure. Like every day you're learning something new. You know, you're trying to dial in your process and, you know, just figure out your routine and everything like that. So yeah, it's been fun, but it's been a challenge, but yeah, it's been good.
So Nate, let's go back to the very beginning in Chatfield. Is that where you were born and raised? And did you go to school there?
So I grew up in Spring Valley, went to Kingsland for a little bit, and then eighth grade, opened and rolled to Chatfield and then graduated from there. So yeah, I guess I claim Chatfield. So yeah, I played football, basketball, baseball there. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to win a state title in 2013 for football. So yeah, it was a fun ride in high school. But
that's awesome. What positions did you play in football?
So football, I was a quarterback and then I punted and kicked as well. So, and then ended up punting in college for the Upper Iowa Peacocks.
So. Really? So sports was like a big passion of yours, I imagine.
Yeah.
You were just living and breathing it all the way through high school and college.
Basically, yeah. I mean, your whole day-to-day revolved around sports and everything like that. So, yeah.
So, for me, it was hunting. I really loved that. That was what I consider my sport. And in high school, I was very passionate about it as well. I couldn't seem to not think about it very often. So, talk a little bit about that passion of, like, early on days. Was that something that you were pursuing to be, you know, in the NFL? Was that your dream? Like, where was your mind related to how you were going to build out a career or follow a path, you know, from high school on?
Yeah, so, I mean, early on in, you know, my childhood, like playing catch with my dad every night or shooting hoops or whatever. So it was always, we were doing always something around sports. And then as you get high school and, you know, they get more serious on varsity and stuff like that, it became even more of a passion. And really my biggest passion was just like figuring out how to improve myself, whether that's, you know, in the weight room or going to different camps or like how, you know, I could improve my skills in each sport. So that really became my sole focus of just, you know, every night you're doing something like that. So sports were a huge passion of mine and, you know, just trying to find a way to help our team win and then, you know, hopefully get a college scholarship. You can get your education paid for and then, when I was at Upper Iowa, it slowly turned into see if I can have a shot at the NFL. So then for a year or about a year and a half after I graduated from Upper Iowa, that's what I actually did, you know, full time was try to pursue the NFL. And then obviously it didn't work out. So I'm here now. But, you know, so that's always but sports have always been, you know, a passion of mine for sure.
If you think about some of those memories of sports besides the state championship, what are some memories that just continually go through your mind, whether it be a coach or advice or players, like what are some great memories you have of sports?
A ton. One of them that kind of always sticks with me, especially now in business, was we had this strength coach at Chatfield. His name was Tom Edstrom, just this little short old guy, and he had so much like fire and passion, and he'd always be like talking about, you know, the discipline and the hard work of, you know, what goes into it. And like, you only get one shot in sports, and I mean, it relates to life too. You get one shot to work as hard as you can and, you know, everything like that. So that's one that sticks with me now, especially with his one quote about discipline is doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done, whether you like it or not. And I think that's a great, you know, testament to business too, because there's, you know, stuff we, you know, don't want to do, but we need to get done. And then, yeah, just any other friendships and the, you know, camaraderie with your friends and teammates was, you know, the best part about sports and, you know, the locker room atmosphere and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, those are kind of some of the memories there.
And what about growth in that period of time? So often we're hit, especially those that are pursuing a goal, with challenges. What were some of the challenges that you then had to grow through and come over in that period of time of sports?
Yeah, so it kind of is what led me to chiropractic care. So I had this weird sports injury, which not getting into all the weeds of it, but basically we couldn't figure out what was going on. I lost a ton of velocity in baseball. My arm always felt dead. And it was like kind of like a 3-year process of figuring out exactly what was going on. So that was hard in itself because you didn't have the answers and like you should have been growing and, you know, gaining velocity in baseball and stuff like that. And it just wasn't happening. And so then there's, you know, adversity coming, you know, getting over that.
How old were you when that happened?
So the initial injury happened when I was a freshman in high school, but then the effects of it didn't start happening until I was a junior, really, was when I started to notice velocity decreased because I went to a showcase after my sophomore year and was throwing like, you know, around mid-80s or so. And then after my junior year, I went to another one and I was throwing like mid-70s. Mm. And like just nothing ever felt right. So then it was a process of figuring out what was going on there. So that was kind of the biggest adversity that I had was I just nothing felt right, but you still had to keep working and growing. And so that my true passion was baseball, but then that had to, you know, pivot me towards more football and punting just because I, you know, didn't have the, you know, the baseball arm or talent that I wanted. So, yeah, that was probably the biggest adversity.
And growing through that, one, you're having to pivot to a sport that maybe you weren't as passionate about. And then two, you had to probably retract yourself from some of the dreams that you have to develop new dreams of what the future might look like, I imagine, through that process.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, yeah, that led you to football, and football really became my true passion then, and trying to improve, you know, with punting and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was a challenge in that way. But
So for all the guys out there that think punting probably is no skill and I can go kick and no problem at all, let's talk through what really punting involves and how it is probably such a skill set that not everybody can have.
For sure. They say it's actually one of the hardest things in sports to master because, I mean, there's so much that goes into it with the snap, the catching it, and then they get a spiral, which is what you want, is really hard to do, and, you know, placing it with hang time and distance and where you want. And meanwhile, having to do that while a rush is coming at you, you know, and 1.8 to 2 seconds is the whole thing happens. So, yeah, it's very technical once you really start diving into it. So,
and in high school, and I would imagine even in college, there's so much focus on the game in so many different positions, obviously the quarterback and the wide receivers and all the things that are kind of the top line players that you hear. How did you get coaching, or how did you start to learn about that craft? You know, was there YouTube videos? Were you going to camps? Like, what was it?
So I started really in seventh grade. I think it was seventh grade. Took a lesson from a guy in Rochester who did a little punting just because I was a quarterback. So it was kind of a natural that, you know, at that level, you're the quarterback's probably punting and stuff. And then, you know, my dad's like, well, maybe someday it'll pay for your college. So we'll see. So then there's this couple of big names in the punting world. One's called the Coles camps. So pretty much every high schooler who goes on to college will go through a Coles camp. So then I started, you know, doing some camps and stuff through them to really learn about the punting technique and everything. And then, yeah, that's what led me to, you know, the craft of it, and then keep pursuing. And you're watching, you know, NFL punters or guys you admire and how they do it and their technique and everything. And you just keep trying to refine yourself and going from there. But
so when you get to college, and were you recruited as a punter? Was that your position? Okay. And starting, or how did that path go?
Yep. So I actually started as a true freshman and started all 4 years in college as a punter. So they kind of wanted me to play another position right away, like safety or receiver or something. And then I just kind of wanted to punt because I still wanted to play baseball, and which I did for 2 years in college. So I wanted to stay healthy for that. But so that's what kept me at punting. But
and for people that may not recognize, like in the game, you're going to have the touchdowns that are thought about so often, and certain defensive plays that are thought about so often. What were some of your memories of, like, that punt was a very memorable punt in college? Is there any of those?
There's quite a few. So my freshman year, I remember I was really struggling at the beginning. You know, it's such a faster game than what the high school level is. So I was struggling my first few games, but then the third game I had a punt against Bemidji State where we pinned them on the 3-yard line. I think the next play we either got a turnover or a safety, and it kind of flipped the momentum of the game. And so we ended up winning that. So that was kind of the first, like, you know, like had a break moment.
And to be a freshman too, that just had to be like, whoa, that would be amazing.
For sure. So yeah, that was a cool moment. My sophomore year when we played at Winona State, and they were pretty good that year, and we ended up winning that game. And I remember late in the game, I had to get a good punt, and we pinned them inside the 20 there, and the defense was able to hold them. So that was another, you know, big moment and big memory for sure.
That's so cool. As you pursued your career in college and then you decided to look into the NFL, what did that path look like? And is it, you know, for those that are aspiring to be professionals in sports, does the college help clear that path, or do you have to really pursue it yourself? What does that look like?
It depends on what level you're at. So Upper Iowa was Division II. So obviously not as many guys go as, you know, Division I. So as I was starting to pursue, I was reaching out to different kicking coaches and stuff like that. And they each have like their own combine. So then for punting is a little bit different than any other position. So you go to the punting coach's combine and then you kind of advance through their ranks. And then, you know, they're all in touch with, you know, NFL teams or CFL or whatever. So that was kind of the process there.
Did you have to go find those coaches or those combines, or did the college come to you and say, here's some opportunities?
You had to go find them. Yeah. Really?
So, and I think that's the unique thing about sports and any passion, right? It's like you have to have the initiative to go and pursue these things outside of just being a good talent.
For sure.
It's something that I don't know is necessarily taught. And to me, it's like business development, right? You have to go sell yourself. You have to go market yourself and show them that you're capable of being in a position of being a good player.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're reaching out to them. And then our conference had its own pro day, which you kind of have to reach out to your coach, and he's got to try and get you in that as well. So yeah, you're always figuring out ways to try to get in, you know, in front of eyes and keep, you know, getting your name out there and everything like that. So yeah, definitely.
And that's the connection I love about business to, and it can be sports or any passion, is like, there is such a connection there, and we'll go down that path of sharing what those connections are. So as you go through that journey and you're starting to get into these opportunities, was it very clear that this maybe wasn't the path for you early on, or how did that all come to be?
Yeah, so I, right after college that spring, or my senior year in football that spring, went to a combine, and there was some really good talent there. And so I was like, I mean, I got to improve. I got to get more consistent, you know, to kick with these guys. So then I tried it for another year to see, you know, just, you know, put everything into the basket, you know, all your eggs in one basket for a year and see what happens on the other side. And I remember that next year at the combine, there was this punter from Notre Dame. I think his name was Tyler Newsome. And he kicked some of the biggest balls I've ever seen. And it was just like, there's no way I'm going to be able to get to that level. So then I was like, all right, it's time to go to chiropractic school. And that's kind of the interesting part about, you know, pursuing, you know, the NFL and professional sports, was pretty much every guy I kicked with hasn't or didn't make it long term. Like, as talented as they were, you know, SEC, Big Ten, everything like that, a lot of those guys didn't even stick in the NFL. And that's just how crazy the, you know, the 1% of the 1% is. So kind of after that second round, I was like, I gave it everything I had. I feel like I'm about as good as I'm going to get, and it's just not quite good enough. So yeah, it's time to go to chiropractic school.
And did you know at that point it was a chiropractic path, or did that come over talking with people? Like, what led you to that?
So like in high school, I wanted to do something with sports, whether that was like physical therapy, a strength coach. Chiropractic wasn't even really on my radar yet. And then kind of with the weird injuries I had, a chiropractor was the first one who kind of told me what he thought was going on, and he ended up being right. So it started leading me to think in that realm, and then just discovering, or, you know, looking into the different career paths, chiropractic care, you get the most freedom with how you want to practice. So you can incorporate the modalities you want or techniques you want, and you treat who you want and how you want, really. So that's what ultimately led me to become a chiropractor. And that was probably halfway through undergrad at Upper Iowa is when I decided that's what I wanted to do.
And because you decided at that point halfway through undergrad, does that extend the amount of schooling you then have to go to even further out than you anticipated going into college?
For sure. So after undergrad, chiropractic school is about 3.5 years. So yeah, extended it by that much.
And when you extended that, like, was it like exciting feelings, or was it like, okay, here's another challenge at hand?
It was a little bit of both. I mean, school kind of always came easy, especially like undergrad. So I didn't know what to expect in chiropractic school because I knew it was going to be tougher. You don't really know how much, but so yeah, but yeah, you're looking down the pipe of another 3.5 years of studying, but, so yeah, but it was worth it. Definitely.
In comparing it to sports, I feel like, so here you are getting taught and trained into what it takes to be good at your craft, chiropractic skills. Did they teach anything about business in that?
So no, not really. They, you have a few business classes, but it's just kind of just getting into it. It's not really everything business is going to be day to day. Chiropractic school really in itself is just teaching you how to pass boards and graduate, you know, different techniques and everything you're going to do day to day, especially in business, they don't really cover. So, yeah.
And I think that's so much of business in general is training and learning as you go. I think thankfully the internet, you know, nowadays you can go and find certain aspects of business that you probably couldn't find in years past.
Yeah.
So at what point did business and being a business owner start to really cross your mind? Was it in school where you really had to start thinking about, I'm going to own my own thing?
Yeah, it was probably during chiropractic school. I always knew I wanted to own my own clinic. I just didn't know when it would be, like if I was going to work for someone first or anything like that. So, yeah, I knew I wanted to at some point. And then we have about a year internships when we're done with all our class stuff in chiropractic school. And about halfway through my internships, I decided like, yeah, I think I want to be my own business owner and start my own clinic right away. So that's when that really started to kick in full gear.
You know, in sports, you got all these people you can look up to in the NFL and other places. Was there people you looked up to or was there family members that you were able to chat with relative to what it takes to open a business?
So I really don't have any family that has their own business like that. So a lot of it was my mentors in chiropractic school. So I was lucky enough to find great mentors all around the country. So kind of the weird thing about chiropractic school is you go to school, but to really learn the techniques or what you want to do, you have to go to weekend seminars or find mentors who are practicing that way. So I was lucky enough to find some through the Motion Palpation Institute, and they're, you know, great people and great doctors all around the country. So then, yeah, you start looking to them because they practice a similar to how I want to practice. So yeah, then they became your guide for going through everything with it.
That's cool. With getting out of college, what was next? Like, did you know, was there a clear path as what was next? Or how did you move on past graduation into the next phase?
For a chiropractic school?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not really a path at all. So you graduate and you're just kind of like, all right, here's the real world. So yeah, I was kind of just creating a list of everything you have to do to open your own business. And, you know, you're talking to people and just searching the internet for different stuff you need to do and check off the list. So then, the first thing was trying to find a business, you know, a place or, you know, or location. So that was kind of the first thing on the list to start with.
And that's where our paths crossed. I got a phone call from Tim Danielson, who's a real estate agent based out of Chatfield. And he mentioned your name and mentioned that you were looking to open a clinic. So what led you to be able to reach out to Tim and start asking questions like, you know, Take us to the beginning of that.
Yeah, so I was just, Googling, real estate spots in Rochester just on like LoopNet or whatever. And then, but you needed to find an actual realtor, someone to help guide you through the process because it's, you just can't do it by yourself. So we're family friends with Tim, his youngest son was a year older than me. So we played sports together and stuff. So my parents know the Danielsons well. So yeah, they saw Tim one night and then he recommended you. And then I think the first time I called you, you were actually dragging in a Bucky shot.
Yes, it was November. It was November when you called.
So yeah, Bucky answered it. He's in, Panton or whatever. He just said he shot a big buck. He's dragging out.
Still answering my phone. Oh, like, yeah. Hey, what's happening?
So that's funny. That was the first time I contacted you. Then from there, we were, looking at spots and
that was a journey. We can go down that path, but that was a journey. I think that's one thing that, getting into business, you just don't recognize. You'd think it's like renting a house maybe where there's a for rent sign, you call the owner and you get a lease. And as long as there's no one else that is trying to get it besides you, like happens relatively quickly. it's just not, it's not the case in commercial. I'd love to get your perspective of like, what is, if you're trying to explain it to someone, what did that journey look like, or what could it look like for someone?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's a different beast than, you know, residential. So I started looking in the summer, you know, this last year, of like different spots in Rochester. You know, you go online and there's, you know, 80 plus spots to rent. So like, oh, it won't be that bad to, you know, find a real estate spot. But then once you start getting into it, it's, you know, you have a great location, but then the price is going to be insane, or you got to put a ton of money into the build out, or it's a bad location, bad building, but great price. So you're kind of weighing all the pros and cons of everything. And then it's just kind of like finding the right spot for you. Cause it, yeah, it was difficult. And we looked at a ton of spots and had a few fall through. So yeah, it's a different beast, really. Commercial real estate.
And a lot of it too can be timing. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much timing of the season relative to residential, where you have the hot season of spring and fairly busy in summer, maybe slower in the winter. It's timing of other businesses. And that's something that led us to your ultimate end location. Is there was a business that was going out that happened to be in the chiropractic field, so it was set up for it. Yeah. And if they weren't going out, who knows where you would have landed, right? And also that presented some opportunity relative to cost.
Yep.
Not a lot of build out, all of those things. So it's truly timing becomes a big piece of that puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think the first spot we were looking at, we were submitted a letter of intent or negotiating, and then the owner goes, oh, I'm going to sell it instead. So he didn't want to, you know, lease it at that time. And we had another spot that fell through where we kind of thought we had it. And then they go, oh, I'm not going to rent it out instead. So it's just, yeah, it's just funny how it works out. And that's kind of like the cool part was I couldn't have asked for a better way for it to work out than what it did, because of the costs. We didn't have to put much into the building at all. Good location, good price. So yeah, it worked out well.
So now it's 8 weeks old. Like this baby's not crawling yet.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's like you're still holding it. What have you learned in this 8 weeks of just getting into business for those that haven't been in business? What would be some things you would tell them of just experience you've now had leading up to this? Leasing the space is one piece to this big puzzle.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you lease it and you're getting it all ready. And like my one mentor said, he's like, when you're getting your business ready, it's kind of the honeymoon phase. Like, you know, you're getting your spot ready, everything's looking, you know, sweet and the way you want it, and you're excited to roll or get open. And then all of a sudden you open and it's like, all right, now I got to get some patience in the door.
Yeah. Like you said, it's that honeymoon where you're like, you open, you're like, all right, they're going to come, right? It's like, wait, now I got to go back to sports. It's like, yeah. If you want to get the opportunity to grow in your position, you got to go find the coaches. You got to go to the combine. You got to go sell yourself.
For sure.
You're back in that same spot again.
Yeah. And then, so that was some of the best advice my mentor gave me as well. And he's like, say yes to everything and try to do something uncomfortable every day. So, you know, say yes to, you know, any happy hour, doing a podcast or going to this networking group or, you know, doing whatever you got to do. And then just try to do something uncomfortable, whether it's going meeting new people or speaking in front of a group, or like next month I'll be teaching a spinal stenosis class at 125 Live. Just stuff like that, to where you're always, you know, getting out in front of people, meeting new people. I'd say that's the biggest thing, is just creating those relationships and building trust within the community.
And I do love that saying, you know, do something uncomfortable every single day. This is probably your 100th podcast and you're very comfortable doing podcasts, right?
No.
This is your second podcast. One. That's awesome. And so you're doing something that just doesn't come as naturally. What are some other uncomfortable things you've had to do just getting into business that are helping you grow?
I'd say social media for me has been a big one. Like I never post on my social or personal social media accounts. Like I think my last Instagram post was like 4 years ago, but now we're with my business, I'm trying to do content marketing, so I'm putting stuff out, you know, at least a couple times a week, where you're trying to connect and teach with, you know, people or your patients or people in the community. So I say that's one of the other things that's been beneficial, but also uncomfortable at the same time. And then, yeah, just the biggest one is just getting out and networking, like go to, you know, Rochester Chamber events, or like last night I was at the Builders Association, you know, networking thing, and just going up and introducing yourself to people and starting to build relationships.
Let's dive into the social media one, because I'm passionate about it.
Yep.
What makes it uncomfortable?
I don't know. Like, I don't love just like getting in front of a camera and just talking about yourself, or like trying to like, I almost see it as like trying to brag about yourself, which I like hate doing. I'd rather just, you know, put in the work behind the scenes. So I'd say that's what kind of makes it uncomfortable for me. But it's been good because I don't try to use it as selling. It's just more of educating about certain topics. So that's been the, you know, the highlight of it.
Yeah, I hear you. And I'm like, am very active on social. And still to this day, there are parts of it that are uncomfortable for me of like, if we left here and went walking down Broadway and you're holding your phone and I'm holding my phone, I'm in the back of my mind thinking these people driving by are going to go, those two guys are crazy. What are they doing? Right. Yep. So it's uncomfortable. And then also there's that always in the back of your mind, like, what does the other person think?
For know? Sure.
And we shouldn't, right. We've went through life in many ways, but that is there. And it doesn't just go away.
Yeah.
Of what other people think when you're trying to sell yourself out there related to what you do and the education you have and what you can share.
For sure. And it's like, you got to get past the point of your buddies are going to give you shit about the videos you're posting. So you just got to know it's not for them. It's for your, you know, your customers, your patients or whatever. So you're just putting it out there for them. But yeah.
And I think too, as you look at social for me, it's how do you blend in life with what you're passionate about and with your business? So back to sports, like it was easier to blend sports into life because you weren't really trying to sell anybody on any services other than saying, hey, maybe come watch me at a game, or other than saying, this is something I really enjoy. Now, potentially, it can be perceived that you're trying to receive income from someone relative to the knowledge and talents and business that you have. And so if you can find that perfect balance of like, yeah, I am a chiropractor. Yes, I do charge for my services. That being said, you're not here to just come and become a patient. Like you're here to learn and understand more about something in your life that you may not know because of what I've been led to be able to teach because of my education. So it's, how do you blend that in?
Yeah. And it's tough, but I, like one of my other mentors, he said, if you do what's right for the patient, you're never going to feel like you're selling. So that's the big thing where I try to come from is like, if I was in their shoes, what would I want? So that's where it, you know, it doesn't feel like you're just trying to get money out of them or making them come back, you know, 3 times a week for the rest of their life. You're doing what's actually best for them, coming up with a plan, sticking to it. So that's been where it helps blending it that way. So I just don't feel like I'm just, you know, begging someone to come in or, you know, just trying to take someone's money. But
yeah. Yeah. I like that saying a lot. How about other things in business that have been eye-opening for you this early related to, you didn't imagine this was a thing?
I guess one of them is just how long everything takes. Like just, you know, starting a business, like you think you're going to be, I thought I'd be up and rolling by March and then it was May and it just, everything just takes a little bit longer than what you expect. And there's just a lot of rolling pieces. And then kind of the frustrating part, at least for the chiropractic business, was like, you have a whole list of things you have to do, but like you couldn't do A until you do part D, but you couldn't do D till you do X. And it's just like a whole list of like trying to sort it out and just being patient with the process. So that was one of the kind of the most frustrating things, which is how long everything takes. But
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And again, there's no playbook of where they can try to show you what happened in their experience if they've had a clinic or have a clinic, but it can be so different depending on circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of like the saying, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. It's kind of the same thing in business. You got to be able to, you know, call audibles and just be able to change your plans, but still have your main plan, but still be able to, you know, adjust within it. So yeah, that's been important as well.
What have been some of the things you really have enjoyed about getting into business and being a part of this growth of from idea to actually yesterday having your sign up?
Yeah. It's building relationships has been the best part of, you know, meeting new patients and meeting new people. And, you know, so that's been the kind of the funnest part. And then just seeing the rewards of your work. So when you're, you know, you're getting busier and seeing more patients and stuff like that, that's the most rewarding part because, you know, your hard work that you put in is starting to pay off.
And I imagine in your line of work, it's seeing someone that I bet their attitude can change, their overall being can change, like everything related to their health can change. And that has to be.
For sure. You know, like an example was I have this elderly gentleman that came in and they were going to do some spinal injections or something. And he was having a hard time walking and his daughter was saying how low of energy he has and he didn't want to get out of bed and stuff like that. So he's, you know, been in for about a month now. And now like the last time his daughter was in, they were saying like how much energy he had, and he was up and ready to go for the day, and they went to the casino for like 3 hours, and he's walking around and like just like happy again, himself again. So that's the most rewarding part, is like seeing patients, you know, get their life back, or, you know, get the performance that, you know, they need in your life, sport, or work, basically. So
that is so cool. For those that don't know, share a little bit about where your location is, and then share about your online presence and where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, so Scary Spina Performance is at 1615 North Broadway Avenue, which is in the River Center Plaza. So anyone local, it's, you know, where Glenner's Pub is, or the DMV, RC Nails are kind of the big companies or big businesses in there. I'm on social media at Scary Spine Perform, S-K-A-R-E is how you spell scary, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And then my website is scaryspineperform.com as well. So,
and people that are coming in, do they have specific pain, or is it like, what type of patients have you seen at this point, and what has led them to you?
It's been a good blend, and that's kind of what makes practice fun, is seeing a different variety of patients. So, you know, most of them come in because they have low back pain, or they have neck pain or headaches or something like that. And then it's also had a few athletes who are just looking to increase their performance. So they're not necessarily injured, but they're, you know, looking for ways to either prevent injury or just enhance their performance a little bit. So that's kind of been the two biggest varieties of, you know, patients I've had. And I guess, what was your second part of the question?
Well, I guess I would ask on the athlete side, like, what actually the work that you do helps them perform better? What leads to that?
So I feel like this is kind of what makes me different than other chiropractors in Rochester, was I can combine chiropractic care with some rehabilitation, soft tissue, or, you know, myofascial release, and also acupuncture and dry needling. So we can combine that all into one treatment. So it really depends on what's going on with you or what your goals are. So we look at the whole body and go through every joint and muscle and everything like that to see where there might be vulnerabilities or weaknesses, and then, you know, making a plan to help from there. Because especially with athletes, you're going to have compensations, or you might be, you know, tight in this area, or this joint's tight and you're compensating in this area, and over time this could lead to injury. So that's where you really get the performance increase from it.
And you've lived that life. I think that's another fascinating thing. You have that tie back to your sports career.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of everything I would have wanted as an athlete is what I'm, you know, trying to provide to Rochester. So
before we sign off, I'd love for you to share, for those athletes, for those high schoolers, college, whatever age they might be, what would be just some advice for them as they look to expand in their career and their path, and what would be some advice you might provide?
I mean, the first one is, I mean, you only get one shot. So like, work as hard as you can, you know, in high school and in college and stuff like that, because it's, your playing career is going to be over before you know it. The other part, we always try and find ways to improve. So too many times now we're just focused on playing the games, but really try to, you know, help build your base of strength, conditioning, you know, your speed and power and everything like that, because ultimately that's what, you know, college scouts and coaches that are looking for. They're looking for, you know, good athletes and good people who they can develop. So it's not as much about your stats in high school, is it what the potential that they see. So I'd say that's one of the biggest things you see now with youth athletes and youth sports in general, is they're just playing so many games and stuff like that, that they're not really taking the time to really develop, you know, their bodies and building the base before they start to really acquire the skills of the sport. So
that's great advice. Well, congratulations on your new business. Welcome to Rochester. Love that we were able to be a part of that journey of you finding a location. And I just look forward to your continued success and growth here in the community.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I appreciate everything you were able to do for me and all the advice you gave me. And we had a long process, but it was definitely beneficial to have you in my corner. So
awesome. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.